and this is the Green Market Agoras podcast. And today I am joined by Hex.
Hey, what up, y'all? Originally, we were planning to have Indigo also from Beyond the Boogaloo with us today. However, she is not feeling too great. Don't worry, it's not the virus. She just got a sinus infection and ain't feeling too hot. Stuff happens.
Yeah, and we are continuing our conversation a little bit from Beyond the Boogaloo, which first episode just came out, and you could, I am the guest, so you could check that out
Yep, you can check that out right now. It is just on Anchor and Spotify, but we are looking to have that on Apple Podcasts, on SoundCloud, and a couple others soon, so please check that out. Facebook.com/Beyond the Boogaloo has the link to it right now.
So, you know, in y'all's podcast, we mostly talked about dual power and prepping as it related to coronavirus.
Yes, which is the main thing going on right now. Everybody's freaking out about.
Yeah.
And rightly so.
We are going to continue some of that conversation to a degree, but mostly we're going to talk about something a little bit more permanent in relation to that, and that is our homestead that we are setting up.
That is correct, yeah.
But before we jump into that conversation, I do want to give a land acknowledgement here. You know, we are here at the Beyond the Boogaloo bunker. But this is Tamakua and Seminole land that we are on. And we must remember these things and be conscious of these things. And remember that this is stolen land and an illegitimate government. And as anarchists, it's always a good thing to remind ourselves that this government is not legitimate.
Yep.
So, that being said, where we are setting up the homestead is in the middle of Louisiana. And the property, which some may have heard me talk about in previous YouTube videos and other areas. I've talked about it with Derek Bros and the Conscious Resistance. The land is land that was abandoned before Katrina.
Yes.
My family owns it. We live there. It has been abandoned ever since. And it's time to do something with it.
Absolutely.
My plan was to get a bunch of friends together and start an anarchist intentional community. You know, turn it into a commune in which my community can benefit. My community meaning, you know, not only the neighbors and stuff in the immediate area, but also the wider anarchist community, the wider queer community, etc. And so we have done just that. We got together and we started clearing out the land, clearing out the debris, and plan on getting some fun shit started.
Absolutely, yeah.
And Hex was really the first person to, well, not the first person to jump on board, but the first person to be consistent with this project with me since my partner passed. So, you know, I really am honored to have Hex here as a guest to talk about this and other stuff that they are involved in.
And I've had a lot of great fun with it, you know? I got to operate a chainsaw without worrying about any permits or any shit, so I was having a great time. Especially since I used to work in construction, so I was, you know, we got to clear out some land, you know, we got to have a lot of fucking awesome Cajun food and shit, like, which we'll talk about later and stuff, but, like, you know, I've enjoyed all the stuff that we've talked about so far and plans with what we're going to be doing with the project. As a bit of a, the term solar punk gets thrown around a lot. As a bit of a solar punk myself, I'm a huge fan of the ideas that we've plotted kind of for that sort of direction with it. So I'm down with it. I'm just excited to see what comes of it because this is the first thing that I've been like really solid with. Because I've been an agorist for a while, but like this is the first thing out of just like, you know, not paying taxes that I've been involved with that's been like super agorist, you know, except in cryptocurrency, not paying taxes, but like there's more to it. We're trying to build a better world and I'm really excited that I get to be a part of it.
Yeah, and I mean, I really like to see this project be kind of a bridge between a lot of the Agorist community, which I see more focusing on monetary issues and entrepreneurship,
mm-hmm. yeah.
with the larger anarchist community, which is focused on mutual aid, abolition work,
mm-hmm.
and things like that. I mean, I definitely come from a tradition that is a lot more focused on mutual aid and direct action first and foremost.
Oh, yeah.
And I come from a tradition where community organizing is the backbone of it. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's labor organizing is what I first got into. And then it, you know, I do a lot of work around prison abolition stuff. And now, like, environmentalism is a big component of my work.
Mm-hmm.
And that is kind of the whole reason. That is kind of one of the main aspects of this project that I'm excited about.
Yeah.
Is to not only be able to provide a space for those in need, but to also offer a space that we can organize out of, and to try and build a space that is as environmentally beneficial as we can make it, and as sustainable as we can make it. Now, of course, you know, this isn't the way we solve environmental issues. No. This is a very individualist solution for a very systematic problem, but yeah. this is not the solution to environmentalism. This is just one of the many things that we can do on an individual level.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we're talking about how to lower our carbon footprint, or, you know, get to a more zero waste lifestyle, or whatever a lot of environmentalists are currently talking about, like, these are paths to help do that on an individual level while we fight against the corporations who are
mm-hmm.
actually causing a bulk of the problem, you know, while we're out there protesting pipelines and, you know, doing work with groups like Earth First and Earth Liberation Front and saving, you know, forests from being cut down and all that fun stuff.
God, I wish I was involved with that pipeline. I was one of those lame fuckers who put on Facebook that that they were at that place or whatnot, that they put their location there and didn't actually fucking do anything. That was because at the time that was my understanding of activism. But I, you know.
That's the thing.
In time, I'll be able to do a lot more shit like this, and I'm really excited for that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is we all start somewhere. And yeah. if it starts with, you know, online activism, that's where it started for a lot of people.
Yeah,
I mean, true. Even solarpunk, let's be real, like, it is first and foremost a fandom that yes. turned into kind of an internet community that yeah. sometimes does stuff activism IRL.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not knocking it and saying that it doesn't do a lot of stuff in real life, because they are starting to do a lot more stuff in real life.
Oh, I mean, like Solarpunk Academy, which we were just involved with. If you check out the Green Market Agorist YouTube, then...
And VTube and BitChute.
Yep. We're part of that kind of loosely. I've seen a lot of cool shit that people have been doing for Solarpunk Action Week. Outside of that, whether it's like smaller stuff like starting a garden, whether it's larger stuff like doing these massive fucking beach cleanups and talking about socialism to people who, prior to that point, a lot of the big fucking thing in America is that socialism is a giant government takeover of fucking everything, and it's not. And so people get the option to, like, show that shit and talk about, like, communism and socialism in a good light for once. And so I love that aspect of, like, how Solarpunk came from, like, this aesthetic thing, and then turn to, like you said, like, now they're starting to actually do, like, legit activism, and that stuff's fucking cool. I love that.
And what's wild is, if you look at the early solarpunk community, like, it's not explicitly radical, even. It's
mm-hmm.
And in fact, like, I've been to solarpunk panels at like science fiction conventions and stuff,
mm-hmm.
and, like, I went to one at MegaCon one year, and they were mostly talking about, like, Tesla.
Really?
And that type of you know, the type of technology that, like, Elon Musk promotes. Mm. And they were completely unironic about it. And they were all, like, super liberal. And it was, I don't know, it was weird. They all seemed to be, like, liberal capitalist status who were into using renewable energy and, like, transhumanist-style technology and stuff. They just basically seem to be, I don't know. Yeah, status solar punks are a thing. But thankfully, like, you're seeing much more of an anarchist solar punk movement springing up. And that tends to be the bulk of the folks taking that title and using it in real life as a movement.
That's so sad. In this house, we stand socialist solar punks.
Yeah. So, anyways, for Solar Punk Action Week, we did, we decided to cut down waste because right now I am staying with the Beyond the Boogaloo crew at their place until we can figure things out and I can make the transition over to the property in Macomb, which is known as coup de main, which means lend a hand. It's an old Cajun saying, also a military term. So, you know, has a couple different double meanings. But, yeah, so we decided to kind of see what we could do during Solar Punk Action Week to cut down on their waste. And so we decided to focus on getting them a, we got y'all a recycle bin, which y'all hadn't been able to get around to doing at that point because y'all had just recently moved in. And then we started the compost bin.
And that, it's been a little bit of a change. Like, I grew up with composting and shit, but, like, it's been years. I left college and wasn't doing that regularly, and then suddenly I'm back to, like, having a place to actually put, like, all my coffee grounds and egg waste and all that shit. So, like, it feels good, though. Like, it's a small thing, but, like, it's leading to bigger stuff. And I really wish that people, like, all around did more stuff. Like, obviously, like, individual fucking actions aren't going to change the whole thing. Because corporations bear the brunt of the massive fucking amount of pollution that we have. So I can do as much individual stuff as I want, and it's not going to, you know, somehow save the environment by my individual stuff. But it definitely is helpful, you know, so that we, like, prepare to be able to be doing this stuff on an individual level in a post-government world, you know?
Yeah. So. And, I mean, since then, Indigo has been enabled to kind of branch off that and utilize the compost that we're making for the garden that she's been starting. Since we've been in quarantine due to coronavirus, you know, she got inspired to finally get around to doing some gardening. And, you know, started putting seeds that we had saved to use. And did it, is doing it mostly in pots with the knowledge that we can move that to Louisiana and keep those as more permanent fixtures over there. And so, I mean, this is, you don't have to be in a permanent place to start growing your own food. You can do it in pots. And then move it to a place more permanent later if you finally are able to get that. And so even though we're not over at Coup de Main, we're using this time of social distancing to start to build the things that we can use for over there. And so, I mean, it's been an interesting experience. But
I'm excited to see what comes of this because, like, this is really, like, I don't want to say, like, I'm glad for quarantine, but I'm glad for, like, the shit that's come out of it because, like, she's fucking excited about this now. And, like, she's got, like, her own, like, the pots, like, have, like, their own greenhouse things that she built for them. Like, well, I say built. She just wrapped, like, a plastic bag around it and then put it in the sun, and it works the same way. But, like, she has been really fucking excited about, like, all these different things about Coup de Main. Like, she, I don't know if you remember in the chat where she, like, sketched out, like, this rudimentary section of, like, how to, like, set up the houses and stuff along with, like, the, because one of the things that we're planning on doing with Coup de Main, because I, as I mentioned, more in the solar punk leaning thing, what I mean by that, rather than the green capitalist bullshit, is that we want to work in a way that utilizes technology and at the same time works with the environment around us. So one of the things we were thinking about doing is like solar flowers and shit, which if you haven't seen them online, what it is this massive like giant solar panel thing, but it comes up and it unfurls and then follows the sun. So it unfurls in like this flower shape. It's like these different petals have like the solar panels on them, and then it unfurls, and then it follows the sun, and that way it tracks the sun to make as best possible amount of solar energy. And so she worked with that idea that I'd already come up with, and then she maps out like this whole thing with like how the houses are going to set up, how the town hall is going to set up, how like the flowers are going to be put in stuff. And obviously like we're like as leftist as can be, like, right? And so, like, she knows that, like, we're going to be doing decentralized planning, but the fact that she's, like, so fucking into this, and, like, this is, like, the first step for her, like, just this gardening stuff, and it moves into this, and I'm just like, oh, I'm so excited, because, like, for a while, she was kind of distressed that she wasn't doing as much as she could for the anarchist community, because this is, like, her passion. And so I'm glad that Indigo is, like, really fucking into something now and, like, is setting up that first step for it. And I'm, you know, it's the first step for her, and it's the first step for Coup de Main. It's going to be badass. I'm really excited to see what comes of it. I'm really excited.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, we're going to try and do it as off-grid as possible. Mm-hmm. You know, solar, we're going to collect rainwater and for our water system and filter that mm-hmm. out. We are going to, you know, really just try and be as off-grid as possible with mm-hmm. this in general. There is a phone tower on the property, which has caused some concern for some folks.
Yeah.
Just due to health issues that have been known to be an issue when it comes to cell phone radiation.
Mm-hmm.
To a certain extent, it's overblown by conspiracy theorists, but also, like, there has been some evidence that cell phone companies have covered up a lot more of the health issues that come with cell phone radiation mm-hmm. than we're told.
Yep.
That makes sense. I mean, that's not new with industries. So that is something that is concerning because there is a cell phone tower like right on the edge of that property.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we have talked about things like EMF protection mm-hmm. in like when we're using building materials to build the house, like lining the walls and stuff. And just, you know, ways we can cut down on that. Now, I'm not sure as far as, like, how to counteract some of the environmental effects around there as mm-hmm. far as with the yard and the woods around there and mm-hmm. stuff. I mean, there's some evidence that cell phone radiation is part of what has led to, like, decline in bee populations, like colony collapse disorder and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe we can build a bee sanctuary out there yep. and kind of promote growth of, you know, kind of promote bees.
Yeah. Bee hotel, first anti-capitalist bee hotel, no requirements of rent or anything, or payment. Not like they could, you know.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, different things that we can do to kind of make that area healthy again.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't have the money to clear out the two trailers that are completely dilapidated and ran into the ground over there.
We will, though,
so
I'm sure.
So we're just going to burn them down. And even though that is, you know, not the best for the environment, we're just going to build something better on top of it.
That is sustainable.
Yeah, yes. we're going to utilize permaculture to actually build up the environment around there mm-hmm. and kind of counteract any of the negative effects from mm-hmm. burning those trailers or from having that cell phone tower there.
Yeah. And already there's the chance for, like, even after we were clearing stuff out, you know, during the first wave of coup de grace. Do you mind if I chat about coup de grace really quick?
Yeah.
Is that okay? Okay. So coup de grace was a festival that we did to help promote and get people out there and help people, like, have people see the property and clear out some stuff. It didn't get as many people as we were expecting. We were expecting like 40 people to show up. But due to like some a little bit of miscommunication, a little case of, you know, state capitalism throwing us down by like bosses saying they couldn't come out and stuff like that, we only got about 10 people coming out. But we did get a lot of land cleared. We had a lot of awesome Cajun food. We got Vermin Supreme. We hung out with him in Louisiana. Wow, I'm having a fucking terrible time remembering the word. We have been drinking Guinness, as is tradition, apparently, when hanging out doing podcasting. So my brain is having a terrible time. New Orleans, that's the word I'm looking for. We hung out with Vermin Supreme. He hung out with us in New Orleans as well.
We brought him out to Mardi Gras.
Yeah, we brought him out to Mardi Gras.
We brought him out for Lundi Gras and Mardi Gras and, you know, showed him around and, you know, got him some attention for his presidential campaign. Because even though we're anarchists, even though we're agorists, you know, so is Vermin Supreme.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's one of the only presidential candidates that I felt like solid about supporting.
Yes. He's pretty fucking okay. Anybody who has enough like gall to like wear a boot on his head and completely fucking mock the, you know, the whole system, like, that's a dude I can stand behind. I'm okay with that dude.
He's not going to win. He just wants to get that 5% so he can get in the debate so he can fuck with Trump and Biden.
God, I want to see that fucking debate. I want to see Vermin Supreme full on boot on his head debating with Trump, who's just a fucking wild man, and then Biden, who's like fucking losing his mind. It's gonna be a great time. God, I want to see that so bad. And he could probably do it too. He has enough like name recognition outside of, you know, the regular libertarian candidates. He could fucking do it. I'd love to see that shit.
Oh yeah, well, I mean, you see how he's stealing a ton of Bernie voters.
Good for him.
You know, like, Green Party is running Howie Hawkins. Howie doesn't have nearly the name recognition. So many people that are leaving Bernie are going to Vermin, not to Howie.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like last election where, you know, everybody either went to Hillary Clinton or went to
Jill Stein.
Yeah. Like, most people are ignoring the Green Party and going...
just going for Vermin Supreme.
Yeah, going Biden or Vermin.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you do have a select few who are, you know, just going Green Party just because that's what they instinctively do. But let's be real, it's not usually because of Howie Hawkins, which, no offense to Howie Hawkins, like, I absolutely love the guy.
Yeah, he seems like solid fucking anarchist type. I love him. He's cool.
Yeah, I mean, he worked with Murray Bookchin. You know, he considers himself a libertarian municipalist and an anarcho-communist.
Good.
I completely support a lot of, you know, his platform and what he's trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like, Vermin's got way more name recognition, and it's a game, I don't know. It's a soapbox game, though. So it's not about who's gonna win. It's about spreading the most ideas. So if we get, you know, Howie Hawkins in for Green Party and Vermin Supreme in for the Libertarian Party, then all of a sudden we've got two people spouting anarchist ideals
as up on a fucking
main
stage.
Third parties.
Exactly.
And in an election that's going to be Trump versus Biden, people are going to be looking towards third parties. And if both their major third party candidates,
because
let's be real, like, most people don't pay attention to any other third parties except Green and Libertarian, most people are going to see two anarchists as their alternatives to Republicans or Democrats.
Fuck yeah.
That is a pretty historic situation to be in, and this is a time to not ignore electoral politics on principle. It is a time to not get invested in electoral campaigns, but to reach out to electoral voters who are invested in those campaigns, and to get them involved with something greater. To get them involved with agorism. To get them involved with direct action and mutual aid work.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, don't ignore those campaigns.
Absolutely.
We invited Vermin out there not necessarily to get him to be president, but to get his supporters to support agorism and direct action and mutual aid as practices.
And we got quite a lot of people coming out knowing who he was and chatting about it and didn't realize that he was still on the ballot. And I may have been hitting a Tapas at the time, but, you know, I still noticed there was a lot of people, you know, just flocking to him. It was a great time.
Oh, and from across the political spectrum.
Yeah. I mean, kind of we fucking had, everywhere.
You know, we had hardcore Libertarian Party members. We had a Maoist come up and talk.
That guy was fucking awesome. I like that
you
guy.
Know, we had a whole bunch of random ass people from all over the political spectrum who probably would have argued with each other, but who aren't going to argue with Vermin. They're all going to agree with Vermin.
Yeah.
And having those type of candidates that can outreach like that is important at this time. Not for gaining votes and getting
people into office so that they can change the system.
But to make us realize how much we actually have in common and can work together.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's why we supported Vermin Supreme. That's why he supported coup de grace, and his campaign was a sponsor of the festival.
Yep, we got a few different sponsors who, once we get the site up, we're gonna, we told people at the time that, like, it was gonna be, like, a layered thing, and, like, the highest tier was that you got on the website. And then we decided after a while, we were like, you know what? Everybody came together and made this an awesome thing. We're gonna put everybody on the website. And so everybody who, every single, like, company or organization that got involved to help out with Coup de Grace, like, make it a success is going to be on the website. We had a good time. We didn't get as much land cleared as originally hoped, partially because we kept getting stoned and that happened.
Also, so it kept raining, and it was kind of hard to burn shit.
Yeah.
Although we did get that one fire burning for
we did get that one fire burning. That was pretty fucking wild. We came back to him. We were just like, what?
Yeah, we thought it went out. We came back and it was still going strong. And then we tossed another tire on there and it just lit right up. It was great.
Turns out, contrary to what the government may tell you, gasoline and fire do actually mix quite well.
So does fire in the police state. I mean, sorry, I didn't say that. Anyways.
For legal reasons, that's a joke.
Are you looking to stay healthy and beautiful in the midst of a world-ending pandemic? Well, check out Indigo Magic for all your health, hygiene, and house cleaning needs. We sell fire cider to help keep your immune system strong and healthy during these tough times, as well as all-natural sugar scrubs, lotions, body butters, bug sprays, shampoos and conditioners, floor washes, all-purpose cleaners, and more. All of our products are made from all-natural and organic ingredients, including hemp and essential oils, and are based on traditional hoodoo recipes, which are said to help provide benefits such as protection, luck, wealth, love, and health. And while you're at it, be sure to book a tarot reading with Indigo herself. And check out the Indigo Magic Podcast at anchor.fm/indigo-pen. That's anchor.fm/indigo-pen. And be sure to visit indigopinmagic.com/shop today to stock up before panic ensues and we run out of stock. Stay safe, stay smart, stay healthy, shop agorist. So being in a situation like Hudabane gives us a little bit more of an edge in, you know, being able to build up from the ground up on a more sustainable level.
Mm-hmm.
And it also gives us more of an ability to prep.
Yes.
Two things that a lot of people think that they are in a disadvantage of.
Yes.
Although that's not really true. I mean, necessarily. Like, yes, if you're renting or, you know, you're doing another house, like, you're not building it from the ground up, like, you can't design it to be great from the get-go, but you can, you know, weatherproof your house or your apartment, make it more energy efficient, like,
absolutely.
In some places, There are even community weatherization coalitions or similar type groups, some of which do the assessments for free. You know, there are ways to kind of start getting more of your energy from alternative sources, depending on your situation. Like, there are ways to recycle more, to reduce your waste, to do these things. And then, you know, as far as prepping and stuff, like, having 2 weeks worth of food. Like, having medical supplies and the basics. Like,
that has helped us so fucking much during this quarantine. Having, like, that extra amount of food that we can rely on, that's fantastic. That's very fucking helpful.
And let's be real, like, that wasn't, you know, that was thanks to
a friend of ours. Yeah, a friend of ours who happened to have some extra food and was like, do you guys want to have this? And we were like, absolutely.
Yeah.
Originally, it was going to be for coup de grace because we were having so many people over.
And but we then did. It turned out, but we still had some left over.
We still had left over. And then, you know, he said that I didn't give this to you guys because I expected it back. He was like, you know, I gave this to you guys to use, and we have been using it. And so really, like, a lot of this stuff, like, people think that, like, homesteading and prepping and mutual aid are all, like, totally separate things. But, like, when you really get down to it, like, they're not. All of them work so well together. That's why, like, I really do promote, like, fucking, like, I don't know if you've seen too much about it, but I saw a lot about it back in the day on Tumblr. Apartment homesteading is totally a thing, which I didn't realize for the longest time. And I've seen some people on the left, like, kind of for the same reasons that I just said, kind of, like, come down on, like, the hardcore, like, homesteading kind of stuff as, like, more right-wing. But, like, it can definitely help build, like, a solid amount of community solidarity, like, along with, like, having community gardens and stuff. And we mentioned that during the Beyond the Boogaloo first episode. Yeah. Please check that out when you guys get a chance, as long with subscribing to this podcast as well. But
I mean, it's the difference between the fuck you, I've got mine mindset.
Yes.
That comes with more, you know, with more, like, American individualist traditions.
Yes.
And I'm using that, like, not in the original anarchist sense of individualism, but in the rugged American, you know, kind of bullshit, you know,
pull yourself up by the bootstraps.
The Randian type solipsism that is seeped into our culture versus, like, the more communalist mindset that a lot of anarchists have. I mean, anarchists wouldn't be able to be pulling off a lot of the mutual aid efforts that they are now, where they're passing out medical supplies and food and hygiene products to those in quarantine and those unable, you know, to those in need. You know, they're going on shopping trips to the elderly, they're passing out supplies to houseless people. They wouldn't be able to do that if they weren't already taking care of themselves, if they didn't stock up on enough supplies to share with everyone else.
I had a friend who I was just helping out with, because for those who don't know me, a lot of people who do know me as Hex by that moniker know that I do a lot of graphic design work. And the most recent thing that I did was somebody who was, they realized suddenly as the epidemic came about that they have a lot of equipment to make hand sanitizer in their house that they've been stocking up for a while for, like, shit like this. And so, like, they just started pounding it out, like, selling it for, like, as low as they can to still, like, make enough back from it that they're, like, that they're doing well off, so that, like, they're not, like, losing money from it. But, like, they like, worked their butt off. They're, like, so excited. They got a bunch of people together to, like, so it's kind of like this unofficial, like, cooperative that came together to just push out hand sanitizer because, like, they had enough to do it, and it's become this community thing. And obviously, like, if people need it, they aren't going to charge them if, like, they don't have any money. Yeah. So, like, they're having a great time. I designed the logo for them, even though, like, it's kind of an unofficial thing. Having a great time, and that's a thing that, like, communities can come together for, and it's cool shit like that. So, like, yeah, absolutely, homesteading and prepper culture and mutual aid comes together very well, and part of, you know, that's a big part of, like, coup de main too, is that it's all those kinds of things together. It's like you said, it is like an off-grid community, it is a farming community, It is a solar punk community. It is kind of a prepper community, and it is a very much a mutual aid community, and it all works together in a way that is going to be great when, like, we get, like, more stuff up on it. I'll say it over and over again during this fucking podcast, but I'm so fucking excited for what comes of Gude Main.
Yeah, and I mean, it's been through a few different incarnations before it got to this point. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, because that property my partner and I were originally going to work on, and, you know, we were going to do it with New Orleans Redneck Revolt, mm-hmm. back when Redneck Revolt was still a thing. Mm-hmm. Which my partner and I were both part of the Redneck Revolt Network.
Yeah.
And, you know, we did a lot with community security and anti-fascist work and such. And we went out there with them to look at it and to look at, you know, the possibility of clearing out the land, setting up a gun range, and, you know, doing some trainings out there and stuff. And Redneck Revolt has since disbanded, but the local chapter in New Orleans became the People's Defense League.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually possibly still want to come out there and train. I just haven't been able to keep in touch with them as much as we used to,
unfortunately. That's fucking fantastic.
So, you know, we still might have that. Like, we still want to get tapped in with the local Industrial Workers of the World chapter and, mm-hmm. like, do work with the IWW. Like, we want to, you know, get tapped into the local DSA and mm-hmm. the local LP and, like, whoever's doing shit around there, which isn't many people, unfortunately,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, why we're reaching out to groups like DSA and LP and stuff like that, because there's not as many direct action or mutual aid groups around there that we can go to instead. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have to go to where people are already involved politically and push them to do more direct action and mutual aid work. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it'll be a lot of organizing in order to really, you know, make the community a better place.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why we need a place like Gude Main in the middle of all that.
Absolutely. A base of operations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Like, we're seeing a lot of great community initiatives coming out of community spaces like that, like community science labs and mm-hmm. stuff are helping design mesh nets and alternative internet structures for when, you know, people lose internet during this crisis, which mm-hmm. will inevitably happen as people can't pay their internet bills mm-hmm. and more people are working from home doing things like that. Yeah. It becomes more of a necessity.
We've gotten lucky in that we both have, like, some knowledge on how to make it and have a local, like, internet company that's not too concerned about it and has said that they'll like waive, like, the fees for, like, a little bit, but again, like, how long is a little bit, you know? Yeah. So, like, eventually, like you said, it probably will come to the fact people won't have internet and will need to be building mesh nets and shit, and there's ways to do it really cheap, but, like, a lot of people just don't have access to that information or just don't know about it. And, like, people do need to know. It's going to be super necessary as shit goes down.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just like, you know, speaking of other bills people can't pay, like, now people are starting tenants unions and, you know, protecting people from eviction and things like that. And really going back to the Occupy Homes model, which, you know, kind of started during the Occupy movement where they mm-hmm. were, you know, gathering in people's yards and keeping, you know, keeping police and landlords from being able to serve eviction notices or being able to carry out evictions.
Yeah.
You know, or they would open up abandoned houses to houseless people and then protect them from being raided by the police. Like, things like that. And we're seeing that kind of happen again as people need housing because, you know, with social distancing, people aren't able to work. People aren't able to pay their bills. Houseless people need to be able to social distance too, and they can't do that if they're stuck outside without the ability to. So, I mean, you know, seeing that, and we are seeing a moratorium on rent and utility shutoffs in a lot of places, which is helping people, but that is only a temporary halt, yeah. And people still have to pay back that money down the line.
Yes.
Which means
ultimately the Pound Table is going to be a lot more powerful than anything the state comes up with. The state comes up with shit that's temporary and already, and they already are in bed with these corporate folks and these landlords and stuff because their interests are the same interests as capital.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, the landlords still have to get paid back and all that shit. You know, the utilities companies still have to be paid back, but it's not like we're going to get extra work to make up for the money we lost.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, the fact that we are kept from working, yet landlords and utility companies and all that are not kept from gathering rents it shows the blatant flaws in capitalism and how it really just does not hold up to systemic or to any major catastrophe like this. When, you know, something like a virus that kills less people than the flu can disrupt our entire economic system and throw people's lives into jeopardy, not from health issues, but from economic issues. It's pretty bad, and we need an overhaul of that system. Like, absolutely. We are lucky in that we're seeing some band-aids being proposed that might do us some good. We're seeing even Trump now jumping on the universal basic income train.
Gang, gang.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, and that's pretty cool because as we're moving into post-capitalism, like, less and less people will be working for traditional jobs. More and more jobs will be automated, you know, and honestly, we don't, you know, we need to be able to eliminate bullshit jobs, as David Graeber talks about, you know, bullshit jobs are basically jobs that are just created to make other people feel important.
Yeah.
Not even to make the person who has the job feel important, you know, like a secretary job, for instance, being, you know, one of the most famous of those. Like, most secretaries are not needed. Some secretaries are very fucking needed.
But for the most part.
Yeah, most secretary jobs are just there to make the person they're secretary for feel more important.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like a weird FinDob situation.
Yeah. So, I think we can get rid of bullshit jobs. Yeah. We can actually strengthen unions because having a universal basic income doesn't stop people from working. People who work, yes, so it may increase self-employment, which would be great. You know, you may have more people wanting to strike out and work for themselves, but you also have people wanting to work in industries where that's not possible still. You know, you will have people that still want to go teach at a school or still want to, you know, want to be in a workplace that requires other people. And, you know, that's where, given more financial independence and stability, they will be able to fight back against unjust work circumstances even more without fear of losing their livelihood if their boss retaliates.
Yeah.
So, if anything, having a UBI, contrary to all the memes about how it will fucking ruin class consciousness, honestly could strengthen the union movement if we play our cards right.
Mm-hmm.
Get us, you know, that much closer to fully automated luxury gay space communism.
Fantastic.
So, you know, like, but the thing is how do we get these, how do we make sure these temporary measures stay temporary, the ones that need to? And then for things like UBI and, you know, a moratorium on evictions and utility shutoffs, like, how do we make those permanent?
I mean, I saw, like, this one, like, attempt at a crypto UBI, but that's the closest I've seen to it, and that hasn't really been too successful. It could be, but, like, I remember we'd been talking about something kind of similar to that premise in a, once we get, like, Coup de Main started, and I don't remember how far we got into it, but, like...
Yeah, but even that, it wouldn't be universal.
It wouldn't be universal.
And that's the issue.
That's the issue.
Like, it would be a basic income, but it wouldn't be universal. Yeah. Although, to be real, any universal basic income scheme that is started by the state, wouldn't actually be universal anyways, because it would only be for their citizens.
Yes.
So, you know.
There's no
true universal basic income.
Yes.
But yeah, how do we keep a lot of these more draconian measures from being permanent while keeping the gains that we gain? While keeping the gains that we gain. And who knows? But at the end of the day, what we most got to focus on is making sure that us and our communities are taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, check out itsgoingdown.org. They've got an amazing list of mutual aid projects that are happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, keep an eye out for the shit that we're doing at Coup de Main, which, mm-hmm. you know, you can follow a little bit on YouTube and on greenmarketagoras.wordpress.com.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, I don't know. It's... take care of each other.
Mm-hmm. Last things I would say, you know, I would say be sure to watch out in the certain anarchist communities for Coup de Grace, because we are bringing that back next year. We have a lot of exciting plans for it, especially the thing that I'm more excited about, which is a very fucking random thing to be excited about, is I'm a traditional like freelance illustrator too. I'm helping to illustrate the mascot, whatever that may be. Our current most liked one is an alligator with a purple vest and his dick out. So, you know, that was that was pretty popular right now. That one may not be the case. But be sure to check out Coup de Grace. It is an awesome thing that we're bringing together for people to, like, help out with this community, help out with intentional communities, help out with, you know, any kind of direct actions happening in the area, because we do want to bring anarchy to Louisiana, and that's the way to do it. Watch out for more Coup de Main stuff. Absolutely subscribe to this podcast on every single place that it may happen to be being blasted on.
And subscribe to Beyond the Boogaloo.
Absolutely subscribe to Beyond the Boogaloo, which is your home for all kinds of post-apocalyptic joys. But mostly is trying to come at the premise of the Boogaloo, the quote-unquote civil war, the destruction of government from an anti-capitalist perspective, while also being very much so agorist, because those two are not as separate as people like to make them out to be. So you subscribe to this podcast, subscribe to Beyond the Boogaloo, and past that, you know, just love each other. As Logan said, care for each other, because we're going to be needing it in these kind of times right now.
Yeah, could be looking at dealing with this coronavirus pandemic for at least a year now. Yeah. So
not the quarantine the whole year, but the pandemic for about a year. We'll see what comes of it.
So, and remember, support green markets, your secondhand markets, your thrift stores, your repaired and reused goods,
mm-hmm.
and support agorism.
Mm-hmm.
And on that note, if you like what you hear, be sure to subscribe. Check us out on YouTube, DTube, and BitChute for mm-hmm. more videos. And check out WordPress, or check out our site at greenmarketagoras.wordpress.com. And if you want to support the work that we do, you can subscribe on Patreon, Bitbacker, or Subscribestar. Or make a one-time donation via PayPal or coin payments. And, see y'all next month.